Picture a machine sitting at a dock. Not a runway, a dock. It has wings, and it has a fuselage, and it has propellers, and every instinct you have as a pilot says airplane. But it's tied to a cleat next to the fishing boats, and the agency that will decide whether it's allowed to carry passengers isn't the one you'd expect. I'm Vector. This is Cleared Direct on Radio Hangar, and today we're looking at something that lives in the gap between the sky and the sea. It's called a sea glider, and the company building it is Regent. Let's break this down, because the engineering here is genuinely clever, and the regulatory story is even stranger than the machine. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If there's a rating in your logbook you're proud of, there's a coin for it. AviationSoul.com. So let's start with the thing itself. Regent is a company out of North Kingstown, Rhode Island, founded back in 2020 by two engineers who came out of the electric aircraft world, Billy Thalheimer and Mike Klinker. The name is an acronym. It stands for Regional Electric Ground Effect Naval Transport. And that phrase, ground effect, is the whole story. So let's talk about what ground effect actually is, because you already know it. You feel it on every landing. When a wing gets close to the surface, closer than about one wingspan, the air behaves differently. The wingtip vortices that normally spill off the ends of your wing and drag you backward, they get squeezed, the ground blocks them from fully forming. Your induced drag drops. The wing suddenly gets more efficient. Like it's floating on a cushion. That's the float you feel in the flare. The way a Cessna wants to keep flying just off the runway when you thought you were done. Every one of us has fought that float. Ground effect is real, it's powerful, and normally it's a nuisance we manage for about 3 seconds per flight. Regent's whole idea is to live in those 3 seconds. Permanently. The Viceroy, that's their first craft, is designed to cruise about 30 feet above the water inside that ground effect bubble the entire trip. It never climbs out of it. And here's what most people miss. By staying in ground effect, the craft cuts its drag dramatically compared to flying at altitude. Less drag means less energy. Less energy means that a battery, which is a famously heavy and stingy way to store power, can actually move a useful payload a useful distance. Ground effect is the trick that makes the batteries pencil out. The numbers Regent is quoting. The Viceroy carries 12 passengers plus 2 crew, cruise speed around 180 miles per hour, range on today's battery chemistry about 180 miles, with a longer reach as batteries improve. That's a coastal machine, city to city along a shoreline. Boston to Provincetown, Los Angeles to Catalina, the Hawaiian Islands, the Gulf Coast. Anywhere people currently take a slow ferry or an expensive helicopter. Now here's the part of the engineering I find the most elegant, and it solves the oldest problem in this entire field. Ground effect vehicles are not new. The Soviets built enormous ones during the Cold War. The most famous was a monster on the Caspian Sea that Western intelligence nicknamed the Caspian Sea Monster. And later a military one called the Lun. These things were the size of airliners, skimming the water at hundreds of miles per hour carrying missiles. And they mostly failed as a concept for one brutal reason. Waves, if you're flying 30 feet over flat water, wonderful. But the ocean is not flat. The moment you hit chop or swell or another vessel's wake, a craft that takes off and lands on its belly like a seaplane hull gets beaten to death. Every wave is an impact. The old Soviet machines needed calm water and brute force, and they were terrifying to operate. The concept got filed under interesting failures. Regent's answer is hydrofoils. And this is the clever bit. Let's walk through how the Viceroy actually gets going, because it does it in 3 distinct phases, and each phase solves a different problem. Phase 1. Floating. It sits in the water on its hull, like a boat, displacing water tied to the dock. Passengers step aboard from a normal marina. No runway, no airport, no long taxi. Just a dock, phase 2. Foiling. As it accelerates, hydrofoils, think of them as little underwater wings on struts, extend down below the hull. Water is far denser than air, so those small foils generate enough lift to hoist the entire hull up out of the water. Now the craft is riding on foils, the fuselage is clear of the surface, and here's why that matters. Those foils cut right through the chop. The hull isn't slamming into every wave anymore. This is the exact same technology that lets an America's Cup sailboat rise up and skim along, and the same tech in those electric hydrofoil surfboards you've seen. It gives the craft a smooth, stable platform to build speed in rough water. That was the missing piece the Soviets never had. Phase 3. Flying. Once it's foiling and fast enough, the wings take over, the foils retract, and the craft lifts off into ground effect, 30 feet up, and settles onto that cushion of air for the cruise. To land, it runs the sequence in reverse. Fly down onto the foils, foil down onto the hull, float up to the dock. Float, foil, fly. That's the whole flight profile, and the hydrofoil phase is what makes it viable in real sea states, instead of only on a mirror compound. The data tells an interesting story here. Regent claims the foils let the Viceroy operate in wave heights that would have grounded every ground effect machine that came before it. So that's the promise. Now, let's be honest about the caveats, because this is clear direct and I'm not going to hand you vaporware without the other side of the ledger. Caveat 1. Batteries. Same story as every electric flying machine we cover on this show. 180 miles of range with a decent reserve is a real constraint. That reserve question is not trivial over open water. When your engine is a battery, you cannot dump extra fuel weight, and you cannot land at the nearest airport because you don't use airports. Your emergency options are the water beneath you and the next dock. Regent will have to prove out a genuinely robust reserve and diversion philosophy, and that's harder over the ocean than over land. Caveat 2. Obstacles and traffic. 30 feet over the water sounds serene until you remember what's on the water. Other boats, buoys, fishing gear, swimmers near shore, whales. A craft doing 180 miles per hour 30 feet up has to see and avoid everything a boat has to avoid. But with far less time to react, and it cannot simply climb over a problem the way you would in an airplane, because climbing out of ground effect throws away the entire efficiency advantage. So Regent is leaning hard on sensors, on detect and avoid systems, and on operating in defined corridors. That's a real engineering and operational challenge, not a solved one. Caveat 3. And this is the big one. Who regulates it? Here's where it gets fascinating. In the United States, if you build something with wings that carries passengers through the air, your instinct is the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA certification. Airworthiness, the whole apparatus we all know and sometimes curse, but a sea glider spends its whole life within a wingspan of the water. And under international maritime rules and under United States Coast Guard interpretation, a wing and ground effect craft that operates in close proximity to the surface is classified as a maritime vessel. A boat. So the Viceroy is being certified by the United States Coast Guard, not the FAA. It goes through the maritime certification process. Its operators will hold mariner credentials, captain's licenses, not necessarily airman certificates in the way you and I hold them. Now, why does Regent like this? Because frankly, maritime certification is a more established and in some ways more predictable path for a brand new type of vehicle than trying to invent a whole new FAA aircraft category from scratch, the way the eVTOL companies are grinding through right now. The Coast Guard has certified novel high-speed vessels before. There's a framework. It arguably lets Regent get to market faster. But here's what most people miss, and it's worth sitting with. This is regulatory arbitrage built into the physics. The craft is a boat specifically because it refuses to climb. The moment it went up to 1,000 feet, it would become an airplane and fall under the FAA. Its legal identity is welded to its altitude. I find that genuinely remarkable. The same machine is a vessel at 30 feet and an aircraft at 300, and the engineering choice to stay low is also a regulatory choice to stay a boat. That has real consequences for anyone thinking about operating one. You wouldn't file an instrument flight plan. You wouldn't talk to approach control. You'd follow the rules of the road at sea, the maritime right-of-way rules, the same collision regulations that govern ships. You'd worry about the harbormaster, not the tower. It's a completely different world layered on top of hardware that, to our pilot eyes, looks like an airplane. So who else is in this space? Regent is the clear front-runner in the West, and they've built serious credibility. They've flown a quarter-scale prototype. They've been building and testing a full-scale 12-passenger Viceroy prototype. They've announced a defense variant because the military is very interested in a machine that can move troops and cargo between islands low and fast and quiet and off the radar of anything expecting either a boat or an airplane. They've collected a large book of provisional orders from ferry operators and airlines in coastal markets around the world, everywhere from Hawaii to the Middle East to Japan. And they're already talking about a bigger sibling, the Monarch, a roughly 100-passenger seaglider for later this decade. Provisional orders are not revenue. Let me say that clearly, because we've watched a lot of flashy order books evaporate in the electric aviation world over the last few years. An order announcement is a press release, not a certified aircraft carrying paying passengers. The honest timeline here: Regent is targeting commercial passenger service in the second half of this decade, roughly 2026 to 2028 for initial operations, with the usual and entirely reasonable expectation that a first-of-its-kind vehicle will slip. Anyone who tells you a brand new category of passenger vehicle will hit its first date exactly hasn't watched this industry very long. Where do I land on it? Because you can always tell where I land. I think the Seaglider is one of the more intellectually honest ideas in the whole future of flight conversation, and here's why. Most electric flying startups are fighting physics. They're trying to make batteries do a job that batteries are bad at, which is hauling mass up to altitude and keeping it there. Regent isn't fighting physics, it's exploiting a loophole in the physics. Ground effect is free efficiency, it's real, and instead of spending 3 seconds in it on every landing and then throwing it away, they built a whole vehicle that never leaves it. That's not hype. That's just a smart reading of the drag equation. The hard parts are real. Batteries, reserves over water, traffic avoidance, and proving that maritime certification can deliver the safety record passengers deserve when the thing is moving at 180 miles per hour. Those are not small, but they're the right kind of hard. They're engineering and operations problems, not physics problems, and that's the difference between a company that might make it and a rendering that never will. For those of us who fly, there's something a little poetic here too. The Seaglider is built entirely around the one force we're all taught to respect and then get rid of as fast as we can. Ground effect is the thing your instructor warned you about in the flare, the reason you flowed past your touchdown point on a hot day. Regent looked at that same phenomenon and said, "What if that wasn't a bug? What if that was the whole airplane?" The reporting on Regent and its viceroy comes from the company's own technical disclosures and test program, along with coverage in the aviation and maritime trade press, and the classification details trace back to the United States Coast Guard's own read on wing in ground effect craft. You can find the rest of what we do at RadioHangar.com. Keep an eye on the water this time. The next interesting thing in aviation might not be up where you're looking. I'm Vector. Stay curious.